Hey, everybody, Zach here. Before we get started with the podcast, I just want to let you know about our sponsor, Anchor. We're new to podcasting here at Salty Saints, and Anchor has made it so easy for us to get started. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, so let me explain a little bit about it. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything that you need to make a podcast in one place. The best part about Anchor, though, is that it's absolutely free. So if you, like us, want to get your word out there, you want to try your hand at podcasting, make sure that you download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast. I am Zach, I'm your host, and I'm sitting here with my good friend Craig Bannister. What's up, Craig?
Hello, thanks for having me.
No problem, dude. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm sitting in this room with a microphone in front of me. I had a seltzer water, but I just drank it all, so that's okay. You are going to talk to us about some fun things today, I hope.
I think so. I think that's the plan.
Okay. So, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Just life in general? Maybe get into a little bit of what I think we're going to be talking about today?
Sure. Yeah. So, dive right in. The reason I'm here, I played music in the Christian music industry for around 6 or 7 years. Me and some friends started a band when I was a junior in high school, and actually, at the end of this year, that's going to mark 10 years that the band has been in existence. I have, I played guitar for them. I sang some vocals for them, ran social media accounts. I left the band 3 or 4 years ago to get a, you know, quote, adult job, full-time job. But yeah, that's me.
Excellent. Do you want to talk about who, I mean, the band, like, is that cool? I mean, are they going to mind mentioning
that? Oh, yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so The Lasting Hope is the band. Check them out. They're great. Still friends with those guys. Well, I only really know Logan now in the band. Aaron, he's off doing other things too, right?
Right, yeah. He actually, he may be a better guy to talk with. He works in touring. He's a tour manager for Big Daddy Weave now.
I would be interested to get him in here. Yeah. Is he ever in the area?
Not really. I mean, just coming out of COVID now, he's back on the road traveling, doing drive-in shows, but he's everywhere all the time.
If he is ever here, let me know.
Okay.
Because I think he'd be fun to talk to.
Yeah.
I like Aaron. All right. So what do you do now? I
do communication and marketing work. Yep. Full circle story. It's the company that I interned with while I played music out of college. Through the band, I finished up high school. I went to college, graduated in 3 years, and then got this job that called me an intern. And that just allowed me to travel and be on the road whenever I needed to be. Did that for about 2 years, then left. As I left the band, I got a full-time job with K-Love and Air One Radio doing events. And then my wife went to grad school in Nashville, Tennessee. So then I left that job and went back to where I used to be an intern, and I'm there full time.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Cool. And so you mentioned K-Love and Air One, and so you've kind of worked on that side, like the broadcasting side of the music industry as well. So
yeah. Yeah. I've got a full circle picture, I feel like.
Yeah. Seen a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into the good stuff.
All right.
So like being in a Christian band, how did you guys take off? Like what was that like? Like the process of, cause you had a song on Billboard, right?
That's correct. So our big accomplishment, we had a song called Something New hit number 5 on the Christian Billboard rock charts. We also had another one hit number 20, So we had a little bit of radio success, but that came out of years of music no one will ever hear because we have buried them. They are not on the internet. They're nowhere.
Just gone.
Yeah.
I know that. Know that feeling.
So like I kind of alluded to in the beginning, we started in 2010, and our first year as a band, we played like 10 shows in a year. It was just a group of friends. We'd play at churches that would have us. And, you know, gradually we learned more about music, changed our sound a little bit, and we ended up getting we signed with EOS Artist Management, a woman named Nancy, and she really helped us turn it from, you know, this pursuit, this hobby, into more of a career looking thing. And that's when we started pursuing radio more.
Okay. How did you guys get radio play?
We partnered with, they're called Shamrock Media Group. So basically, we paid them and they promoted our songs to radio stations because, you know, growing up, I grew up with like bands in MySpace and like, you know, getting big on there, getting plays on your profile, and then, you know, just getting in front of radio personalities and they would play your song. Well, that's not how it works. You have to know the right people to be taken seriously. Before this, we tried to go to different radio stations and hand off our CD. And at one of them, we literally saw a stack of CDs just like in the trash. So it's like, we might be wasting our time here.
That's so funny because I originally went to school for music media production.
Okay.
And I remember a professor looking at us and he was like, yeah, if you don't have an actual like press sheet that you're going to send out, like a press package.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to do this professionally, they're going to throw your CD in the trash.
Yeah.
And they literally do, apparently. So
they do. Yeah. At least at this one we went to. But we partnered with them, and what they promoted our songs to different radio stations, and then it's up to the radio stations whether they're going to pick up that song or not. So it's not guaranteed. You can't really pay for success when you're our size. What really helped us is there is a large radio network that named us Artist of the Month 1 month, and that really boosted our plays.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, when you have more plays, more people want to play you outside of that. So that's really helped us. And then once you have that accomplishment, then that's when we got our other song to – it hit 20. So it didn't go as high, but it still charted.
Sure.
And it was helpful to say, like, here was our first song. Here's what it did. Now here's a follow-up.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
So you guys did some touring then. How long did you tour?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it was pretty constant. I know there was 2 years in a row that we played over 100 shows each year.
Wow.
So
so that's two a week?
Something
roughly.
Like that. Yeah. So it was pretty intense there for a while. And, I mean, we used that radio play. We use that radio play to send to festivals, different churches, different church camps, to as a one sheet to show like what we've done, and that really helped pick up booking. When you can point to some accomplishments, that's when
it's like a resume.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is, and that's really when touring picked up. So, yeah, it was pretty intense there for a while.
Okay, did you tour with any big artists?
We never officially toured with any big artists. We would open for them at different festivals.
Right.
So it's not like we were all, like, following the same route. But, like, we...
There was overlap, though.
Yeah. So we opened for, you know, Toby Mac, probably one of the biggest names in Christian music. We opened for him at Holiday World. We won a contest to do that one. You know, Crowder, Mandisa... for a while there, pretty much, I would say a majority of artists on like K-Love or Air One we had opened for. That doesn't mean we met them and hung out with them, but we opened the stage for them.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever meet any of them?
We did. There were some festivals where artists were more out of their buses. So like we got to meet Danny Gokey backstage before we hung out with 10th Avenue North guys, Sanctus Real, Seventh Time Down. All those guys are really nice guys and made were intentional about actually meeting us when they literally don't have to at all. They can go sit on their tour bus and wait for their set. So that was really a really cool experience. We didn't have a tour bus. We had a mostly broken down Yukon Denali. So we didn't have an air conditioning at these festivals. So we had nothing to do but walk around.
Oh, man. So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, that's super cool because, like, I'm not trying to plug myself. I'm not even going to get
a band. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, I've played with secular bands before and never met, like, any of them. I met Saving Abel for, like, 0.5 seconds. And we didn't even really talk, but I mean, like, so that's cool that there are Christian bands like being intentional to go, like, say, hey, you know, thanks for playing with us or whatever. Like, that's awesome.
I didn't know that, absolutely.
So, I was asking like some people, like, what do you want to know about like the Christian music industry and stuff? And so, I guess, like, one of the big questions was, are there a lot of non-Christians in the Christian music industry? Because, like, I know a guy who will remain nameless, but, like, has worked in the Christian music industry for years, and he's an agnostic. Like, he doesn't even believe in God, or, like, he hasn't put his faith in Jesus, you know? And he's, like, doing vocal mixing on very large bands in the Christian industry. And it's like, well, wait, this doesn't add up, you know?
Right. I mean, I'm sure there are, but I would say that it's not this, like, open discussion.
Okay.
So people aren't, like, flaunting that they aren't believers.
Right. Is that almost worse? Because then they kind of keep moving, you know, like they still keep moving through the motions.
Yeah. I think there may be a line to draw between, like, crews and the artists themselves.
What do you mean crews?
So, like, people, like, stagehands, things like that, who are working the tour versus the artists themselves.
Right.
Because people view the artists as people doing ministry.
They're the face.
Right, yeah. So it's expected, if you're in the Christian music industry, that you are a believer. And I think for the most part, that's accurate. But I don't think it's as cookie cutter as people want it to be.
Right. Like, it's not like just because you're in a Christian band doesn't mean you're living this flawless life. Not that anybody's living a flawless life, but, like, almost thinking more of, like, I don't know. Like, you put people on pedestals in life.
Oh, absolutely.
You do it subconsciously. You don't even mean to do it. And I think we look at Christian music and think, like, oh, man, this one definitely came from the heart. And I feel like there's a lot of Christian songs that are just produced in a studio with zero intention of being theologically correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I just feel like that's a thing. I'll never know that to be true, but I don't know. And I think it goes the same for a lot of Christian musicians. Like, I think they get sucked into it. And then I'm sure their faith wavers, just like my faith. Sometimes I'm a whole lot closer to God than I am at other times.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Christian artists are people just like everyone else.
Exactly.
But as a Christian artist, I'll say mainstream Christian artists, you know, people you hear on Caleb and Erwan, I think people, like you said, put them on a pedestal and expect them to believe certain things and act certain ways. But I think there's a reason that you don't hear people going off script at a festival talking about really touchy subjects. I think that's more of like a one-on-one conversation. But I think when you look at an artist and put them on that pedestal, you kind of assume that they believe the exact same things you do and act the same way you do.
Right. Like, I could see that. But I, because, I mean, you got to think that one song, like, say, I don't know, just pick anything, Amazing Grace. I mean, is it going to mean one thing to somebody in one denomination? And is it going to have a little bit different lens when applied to somebody in another denomination or by a person in another denomination?
Oh, yeah.
But you got to think, like, that artist isn't both of those denominations. He's only got one point of view, or she's only got one point of view. And so music is subjective on some level.
Oh, yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Did you ever see anything crazy touring? Anything you wouldn't have expected to see? Good or bad?
Well, I don't know if this is what you're really asking for, but one time we almost got blown out of a field in Iowa.
Really?
We did. So, like, you hear about these storms across the plains that kind of show up, and we were playing a festival called Rise Fest, and we have, like, pictures of the clouds and stuff. It's insane. But we see these really dark clouds just rolling in, and, you know, we're walking around, like, the merch tent and kind of looking at some of the police officers that are there, like, hey, should we be concerned about the darkness about to descend on us? And they're like, oh, it's fine, it's fine. So, like, main stage is still going. You know, it has, like, the tarps on the side and stuff. Like, it is not great for wind. So we're watching this roll in, and then all of a sudden it hits. And we're trying to clean up all our merch stuff off our table and just, like, throw it in our totes. And Logan is standing behind the table, and the tent post flies out of the ground and almost hits him in the head. So we're like, all right.
This is like a heavy tent post? Like,
yeah. I mean, this is a huge tent. It had all the artists' right. stuff for this festival. So we're like, all right, time to leave everything. Like, let's get out of here. So we, like, opened up the van doors, and someone opened one up behind me, and it flew open and hit me in the back and about knocked me down. Some LED screens on the main stage fell down, so, like, everyone on the stage started evacuating. We ended up running to a nearby house and staying there. They were, like, helping out with the festival.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was. Until Logan had the idea that we should leave. He thought we should go get a hotel in the middle of this possibly tornadic storm. We didn't know anything about this storm. So we're driving around in, like, super high winds trying to find a hotel, and probably drove around for, like, an hour before we found somewhere to stay, which is also an aspect of festivals. You can't stay anywhere close.
Really? So why? I mean, just because they're always out in the middle of nowhere?
Either that or they're booked. So if... Yeah. If when we get booked, if they don't provide a place to stay and we don't commit to staying there, like, if we are possibly going to book something the next night, we don't want to stay there. We want to drive to the next place. So oftentimes we would show up without a place to stay, and we would just drive until we found one that was open.
Just a hotel that was open?
Yeah.
But don't I remember you talking about, like, staying with, like, random people involved with the festival and stuff? Like,
Yes, yeah, sometimes people would offer their houses, and most of the time that was totally fine. Like, they'd usually have, like, a basement. Only one of them was super creepy. There was one, though. It was through this network, and I don't remember the name of it. And I'm sure overall it does great things, but I only remember using it once because it was the strangest experience we've ever had. So these people, they sign up to basically house Christian bands in the area, and we were in Nashville to record, and we decided to use one of these places to stay, and it was this couple in an apartment, and we walk in, we're, you know, saying hi, introducing ourselves, and around the corner, we see this rabbit come around the corner, and we're like...
In the house?
In the house.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, what's that? And they're like, oh, that's a rabbit. We have two of them. They just roam around. They're like, oh, okay. And they gave off some other vibes that were a little uncomfortable. So I believe there was five of us. We've had a lot of different members and different numbers in the band. I think there was five of us. And we all decided to sleep in the same room because we didn't want to be separated.
There's strength in numbers, right?
There is, right. There was like... I want to say there was two bunk beds, and then I was usually the one who slept on the floor. because I volunteered to. And we ended up sleeping with the door shut because the bottoms of the doors were gnawed away from the rabbits. So we didn't want them coming in and, like, eating our stuff or
right.
killing us.
Right.
So that was a really good experience of a free place to stay.
Okay. Rabbit house.
Rabbit house.
I like it.
Yeah.
all right. So were there any did you run into anybody in the industry that, like, put on a front that then you got to see that it was just a front later? I've always wondered about that, too. Like, I feel like there's definitely pastors that do that. So I didn't know if that's something you'd encountered. Like, you know, you've got this, like, almost stage persona or, mm-hmm. like, just vibe you're trying to give off of just being this perfect person, and then you got to see the true colors later. I'm not trying to get you to, like, dish on anybody, but at the same time, I'm curious.
I don't think a full enough picture to give, like, a full story. I have heard stories myself of those sort of things happening, but I can't really speak to them firsthand. One thing that does come to mind is we were playing a festival, and we opened up the rock stage for the day, and the band coming up behind us was a pretty established band. And at that time, I had a half stack for my guitar, which you can't really move by yourself.
Right.
So
half stack's a not a full-size cabinet, but
right.
still pretty big.
Yeah.
What do you think that weighs, 100 pounds?
With the head on top of it,
oh,
probably
so the head
close.
Too. Okay.
So I'm standing on stage after our set. You know, I've pulled my pedals and stuff off from the front. I'm just waiting on someone to help me lift this down the steps because you can't do that by yourself. And this guy comes up and told me to hurry up. And I thought he was joking at first. And then he, like, raised his voice at me and told me to get off the stage. And I was like, okay. So that, I can't say if that person was having a bad day or if that represents them as a
right,
person,
right.
but I was like, I still remember that.
Caught you off guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm like, we're here, you know, for ministry, I think. So still that person sticks out in my head, but that was literally my only experience with them.
Okay.
So that's about the best answer I can give on that.
That's fair, dude. So another question I had asked, is there an indie scene in Christian music? I was talking with Jimmy, the guy I was just talking to when you came in. Like, he was saying how it's hard for him to find Christian bands that aren't being pushed by, like, K-Love or Air One, or, like, it seems like there's only a mainstream Christian music.
Mm,
does that okay. make sense?
Yeah. I can definitely see where it appears that way. But through playing shows at different festivals and stuff, we ran into bands like us a lot of the times. And I would say we fell into that indie category. We were never signed ourselves. I should say Logan and Aaron were booking us everywhere. So there is, but it's very hard to know about it unless you're going to these festivals, honestly.
So is there any other way? Spotify?
I was going to say Spotify now. If you can get yourself on a playlist, it's a great way to get in front of people. Logan does that now. We didn't really do that when I was in the band, so I don't know the specifics behind it. But Spotify is a great way if you can land yourself on a mainstream playlist as an indie band. Battle the Bands contests is another way that a lot of bands came together. Obviously, you want to win, but you learn about other bands and connect with them. So I would say there is an indie scene. It's not huge, and it's not
easily accessible.
Right, yeah.
Gotcha. Because, like, I feel like with Spotify, a lot of what you run into is still just the main names.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It seems like there's only a few. Like, the other thing that's weird to me about Christian music, which I guess this isn't that weird, like, if you put it in juxtaposition to secular radio, but there's only like a few players at the top, like a few big names,
mm-hmm.
and then a lot of like, oh yeah, I think I've heard of them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I guess secular radio is similar,
mm-hmm.
But it is just weird because I guess does that mean the Christian music scene is just much, much smaller? I mean, I would assume.
Yeah, compared to secular, it's smaller for sure. But going back to like the indie bands, some of my favorite bands I only know because we played with them. Because
really?
They were coming through touring and we opened up for them. And now I believe both of them don't exist anymore.
Ooh.
Which is another downside, because if you don't fit into the radio mold, it's very hard to make a living in Christian music.
Okay. What do you mean by fit the mold? Like, look the part?
So when we charted, our songs charted on the rock stations, that was back in 2015, I think. And even since then, there's been a ton of rock stations bought by CCM radio stations.
Yeah.
Who play contemporary worship. So I don't think that there's a large rock radio audience anymore because it's been bought up. So that pretty much leaves you with one sound that you have to fit if you want to be on radio. And radio is how you get booked and known for these festivals. So that it's kind of a cycle. Like if you don't fit that sound, you're not going to be on radio. It's harder to get booked for big shows or tours.
That seems really dumb to me. Because I know secular music is similar in that. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you listen to any given radio station right now that isn't a Christian station, all that music sounds the same too.
Right.
But why? Like, I'm sure it's got to do with the statistical data and the marketing concepts behind it. But, like, not everybody wants to hear that. Like,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure they're just like, well, those people will find it elsewhere. But
yeah.
I don't know.
It goes back to, like, the target demographic of a radio station. And I think, I mean, I don't have the stats on this. What I believe is that the audience for Christian rock or any non-mainstream music just isn't big enough to support itself. So you can't, if you don't have the listenership, you can't sell the ads that supports the radio station. So then they are getting bought up by genres and radio stations that have large followings. So like CCM, that's what, I mean, everybody in the church knows what K-Love is.
Right.
And what songs sound like on K-Love. But they may not know who Disciple is.
Right.
They may not know who KJ52 is because they're not on those big stations.
Why aren't they on those big stations? Because those are big bands, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, Skillet is a big band,
mm-hmm.
and they're a Christian band. And Disciple is a big band, and they're a Christian band. But, yeah, you'll never hear either of those guys on K-Love.
Yeah.
But don't you think that would benefit them in some way? Or to even have an alternative Christian rock station?
So, K-Love tried to do that with Air One. That's what Air One used to play. I believe they played Disciple. I know they played, like, Amberlynn.
Okay.
I believe Thousand Foot Crutch. They did that, and they went away from it.
It
was before I was there, so I don't know why. But, yeah, I'm assuming that they didn't have the numbers that they needed to support that.
Huh. That's interesting. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe you could apply the same thing to what, I mean, I think rock music's just dying in general, to be honest. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever notice any, like, unsung heroes that you would like to give a shout-out to? You don't have to say any names, but just, like, were there people in the industry that just, like, no one would ever know about that just, like, to you stuck out as, like, a good embodiment of Jesus, you know? Like,
yeah. Not so much in the industry, but I believe probably most successful bands has a person like this for them. We had a youth pastor who just booked us to play his church, just like any other, you know, youth event that we played. And we were terrible. It was in the early days, and he saw something in us that he just basically he believed in us. He believed in what we were doing. And from that, he like opened up his church. That's where we ended up practicing all the time. He became kind of the band pastor. So I don't think a lot of people know about him. He wasn't on stage with us, but he really fostered us and our faith. I think he brought up conversations for us to have that we then continued having on the road. But you need someone to lead you in your faith, I believe. And I think that's who he was for us.
Okay. So do you, something I've thought about a little bit, back in the day, I loved Under Oath, talking about they're super heavy. So I'm sure some people listening to this are gonna be like, what's Under Oath? And then they're going to play it and they're gonna be like, oh no, you know, but like,
especially the early stuff.
Oh yeah.
Gosh.
I loved it though.
Yeah.
And like, so I loved Under Oath and I loved Thrice and like Gunger.
Yeah.
And the thing that kills me about all three of those acts is their faith has, one, either evaporated completely, or like, I know Dustin Kinsrew of Thrice is on like a, he believes the Bible is like fallible and it like basically like thinks it's been tampered with by man or that it's possible that that's happened. And it's just like, it's, I know he was attached to, was it Mars Hill that got into all the church?
I don't remember.
I don't know. He was with a church that had a lot of like controversy going on. And after that, it just like broke his faith. But I guess my question is like, what do you think happened there? Do you think like, and I'm sure all those cases are different, but like, did you guys experience, like I'm sure each of you were at different levels in your faith, even while you were in the band.
Absolutely.
But like, do you think that's a matter of just like, unsound teaching, or like having a misrepresentation of the gospel in your head? Because like the one thing I find with all three of those bands is it seemed like none of them really had a good idea of what the actual gospel message was. Like it almost seemed like when things started to go bad for them in their lives, they like cut and run, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's how I would assume it came about.
Yeah. Like you said, I'm sure they're all different. There was another lead singer recently who made a post and said that he feels like he lost his faith. And without being in those situations, we don't know exactly what happened. But I think you hit on some key points for some possible reasons. If you don't have an accurate understanding of the gospel and you think, you know, if I believe in God, if I say I follow Jesus, then all these good things are going to happen, and then they don't, that creates a lot of dissonance in your head. So something can't be true.
Right. Or why isn't my faith enough?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Good point. So I think that can be a real challenge. And traveling and being on the road can create a lot of isolation. So, I mean, you're in your head a lot, so you can kind of go through a lot of different thoughts. From my experience personally, I was really lucky to have a group of guys who were open to talk about faith, and we had the relationship where we could challenge each other on different theological questions, and just talk it out. And we may not have to land on an answer that we all agreed on, but we could look at it critically, and we had an open forum where you could ask questions, and we had the accountability in the band. You know, we never like wrote out any like these standards that we all had to live by to be in the band, but I think they were all known, like expectations of what we were representing, because we'd play in front of kids a lot. We were involved in a couple different ministries that played in schools, so then obviously teenagers want to follow you on social media. So what is your life that you're proclaiming on the stage, is that reflected on social media where these kids are going to look you up? I think a lot of it just goes back to accountability. And like I said, we had a really influential youth pastor in our life that helped lead us as well. But I think, like you mentioned at the beginning, there's a lot of ups and downs to faith. You go through different seasons. So it's really important to have a solid foundation and a solid community around you to weather those storms while you're going through them.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm trying to think of anything else I've got for you here, man. We've covered quite a bit in a pretty short time. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah.
I remember something else I wanted to ask. Okay. Like, having mentioned like Under Oath and Thrice, and these are all older. I mean, mm-hmm. I say older, not that old. Like,
yeah.
What the early 2000s, basically.
Right. The golden age.
The golden age. And, like, it just seemed like there was this really weird time when all – like, Under Oath was really famous
mm-hmm.
among everybody. I mean, non-Christians alike.
Yep.
And I always felt like there was this weird movement where all these bands just started going, yeah, we're a Christian band. What do you think that was all about? Like, do you think that was just, like, a jump on the bandwagon kind of thing? Or do you think it was legitimate? Because – I've noticed, like, a lot of those bands, if you really listen to their lyrics, there's not a lot to make me go, yeah, that's a Christian band. Like,
mm-hmm.
One of them the other day I mentioned that on was The Devil Wears Prada. And then and then I got shut down pretty quick, and people started naming lyrics. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Like, I didn't know that. But, like, thinking about, like, their mainstream stuff, like, I never picked up on that. But, like...
I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. So back in the early 2000s, there were a lot more rock and metal festivals, and a lot of them were around, like, Christian metal music. I'm thinking of, like, Cornerstone Festival and Ichthus Festival.
Yeah.
So I think part of it could have been, yeah, they wanted to be on those festivals.
Oh.
But that's more cynical than I think I actually am. I really think there was a movement where people discovered faith through this music and wanted to be a part of it.
Right.
I still love, like, I'll go back and listen to For Today's old albums. I'm just like, I love feeling this way, like, listening to these words. I understand some people don't get it, but I really think that was part of a movement that brought a lot of people to faith.
Yeah.
Whether they stayed or not, I don't know. I mean, that's with any part of faith. People come and go. But I want to believe most of that was legit.
Well, you mentioned For Today, and once again, anybody listening to this, you're going to listen to half of these bands we've just mentioned, and like these were part of, like, me and Craig's, like, childhood growing up listening to these, but some of these are really heavy metal bands, not all of them, but several that we've mentioned.
Yeah.
And For Today definitely is.
Yeah.
But I remember going to a For Today concert, and I've gone to a handful of Christian music concerts. I honestly listen to a lot of secular music. I just mm-hmm. do. But as far as live shows, I generally go to more secular shows than I do Christian live concerts.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to a For Today concert. That is as legit as you're going to get as far as gospel preaching. Like, they were straight up just like, the only way to heaven's through Jesus Christ. Like just
yeah.
calling people out. And I'm standing there, I'm like, looking around, and you could tell, like, it just wasn't meshing with, like, half the crowd. Mm-hmm. But they were going for it still. And that almost made it cooler that they were just, like, that adamant yeah. about the message. And then they start, you know, screaming into a microphone, you know.
But right.
it was honestly really cool to see that. So, I don't know. I do kind of miss that.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely.
The other thing is, like, that music scene that got made, like, as we were growing up, like, the kind of, like, Christian hardcore, Christian metal scene. I remember a lot of kids our age being like, yeah, I'm a Christian, and really living it out mm-hmm. through those years. And now I look, and some of those same kids are, like, as hardcore atheist as you can possibly go. And it just broke off in a matter of 10 years, something like that, you know, like 10, 15 years. And it's like, what happened? Like, where – what happened there? It's sad. I don't yep. get it.
I don't know the answer to that, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I think people just change and get away from that community, or maybe they, I mean, if you stop listening to it, you stop feeling it.
It may be the foundation you were talking about too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's, I feel like if you like hardcore music and you hear the gospel being preached through it, it's a super powerful thing. So I definitely understand why it attracted so many people. There also used to be a lot more local shows happening, and that makes it an even more personal experience. Like, you can talk to the band afterwards about what they talked about on stage and right. get a little more explanation about what they're talking about and maybe gain more understanding. But like Christian rock music and all these different subgenres that aren't radio, it seems like live shows similarly are disappearing at a small scale, or the small shows are disappearing on a large scale.
Yeah.
But you know, we touched on it a little bit before. You go through seasons with your faith, and if you don't have anybody anchoring you back, if you came to that by yourself and basically kept it to yourself, then it's easy to move on.
Do you remember All Became New?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
I think Will from that band was one of the like most genuine, like he was preaching, like mm-hmm. he wasn't just preaching, like he was shepherding kids at those shows.
Yeah.
And it showed. And I remember like the reason I found that band was I had a friend who had never believed growing up. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, he starts, like, talking about Jesus and stuff. And I'm like, what? Like, where did this come from, you know? And he's like, oh, I met this guy's in this band, and he started talking to me about stuff. And, like, I'd been working on this guy for years, you know, and, like, yeah. nothing ever happened. And then all of a sudden, this guy clicked with him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you even know what they're doing these days? Or if he's – because he was a pastor, right?
I think he was a music pastor. Logan actually just sat down and interviewed him a couple months ago to
really?
Talk about, like, All Became New stuff. Because, I mean, he had a big influence on us. Like, they would come through Seymour in the southern Indiana area, and we'd go see them. And, I mean, it seemed like every show he would just, in the middle of the set, have everybody sit down in the room and listen to him preach. And you know, it was whatever was on his heart that night. But like I said, at a small show, it's more personal. And he was taking time out of their set to talk about Jesus. It was just very powerful experience. Like, that's one of my favorite, like, middle school, early high school memories, is going to All Became New shows.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think about him often. Like,
yeah.
What he did, I think, is a perfect example of, like, being Jesus in your corner of culture. Like,
mm-hmm.
he had the music scene. He had these kids in a very niche type of music
yep.
that maybe, like, it was a lot of outcast kids and stuff, but he found an opportunity to minister to those kids, and he took it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what if we did that in wherever we were, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I dig it. I like yep. it.
And the thing, you kind of mentioned this with For Today, too, the same thing with All Became New. Not everybody at those shows are believers.
No.
But they would still come.
Every show.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times we may not see the fruits of our work. We don't know where they are now. Those people who may have been atheists but coming to these shows, like, they could have had a long-term effect that we never see. But I just think it's admirable. It's like I said, one of my favorite memories, thinking back of bands like that take time to talk about the gospel, not just stand up there and sing their songs.
Right. Absolutely, man. You got anything else for me? For anybody listening? Not that that's an open-ended question or anything like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's see.
Maybe not.
Hold on, give me a second. There's gotta be something.
was.
I'm trying to think. Ooh, we didn't really talk about, like, glamorous road life and, like, what it's like to travel.
Okay.
Do we want to cut that in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just say, just come right in like you're answering the, do you have anything else for me?
Yeah, so one of my favorite parts of looking back at playing with the band, you know, obviously it was really fun to be up on these stages and play, but there's another side to it that no one ever really sees, and that's the travel part. So when you were a band of our size, we could book these festivals in, you know, the middle of South Dakota, nowhere, but nobody was paying for us to fly in, so we were driving everywhere. So it was hours and hours on the road, and people didn't really see that side of it. But it's one of my favorite takeaways, because that's where I think we bonded the most. Because when you're stuck in a small area with that many guys, you either bond or you fight. And luckily, we all bonded.
Okay.
But that's where those deep, like, theological conversations happened. That's where those questions happened. But one of my favorite travel memories was we did a few all-night drives where we would leave a show, have to drive all night, and then literally show up for sound check without sleeping. And on one of those, we would have, like, two-hour shifts. We'd schedule it out. Who wants this shift, whatever. And I took the 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. shift, and I was trying to sleep in the back before my shift. So I was doing that, and then I get woke up. They open up the rear hatch and say, like, all right, you're up. And we're at a gas station. So I went in this gas station, and there was a frozen yogurt bar open at 3 a.m. And you better believe I made the biggest frozen yogurt and put all the toppings on it at 3 a.m. at a gas station. And I got back in the car, and we start driving, and I'm eating it as I'm driving, and I'm like, man, this was not the best decision of my life. It was not great. Don't recommend gas station frozen yogurt. But just the little things like that, those kind of memories stick in my head about, in the moment, it's awful. Like, you have no sleep, and you're driving in the middle of the night. But looking back, I feel like that's where, like, our friendship grew the most. So that's a really cool thing that most people don't see. You know, you see the music, you see us playing, but there's all the hours to get there, all the practices and things like that.
Well, so everything you just described literally sounds to me like Jesus sending the disciples out two by two, you know, like sending them out in their little pods, you know, and like that's pretty much all we get out of the Bible there, of him just sending them out. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, these dudes are walking through the middle of nowhere together on foot,
mm-hmm.
not pleasant conditions, I'm sure. And like, I can't help but think they probably grew together as believers. Like, I'm sure they asked questions about what do you think he meant when he said this? You
know what I mean? Yeah, that's a great point.
You
yeah.
know, like, I'm sure it's a very similar thing. And like, we can do that too. You know, we can do that in our daily lives with our Christian brothers and sisters. So I think that's super cool that you guys get to do that.
Yeah.
Right on.
It was a blast.
That's awesome, man. Well, I think we covered quite a bit. And I think we should cut it here. This is a good one.
All right.
Good deal. Right on. Well, Craig, thank you for hanging out with me.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me. This is fun.
No problem, man. Thank you for listening to Salty Saints Podcast. If you like what you heard, check out our other episodes. We like to cover a little bit of everything. Make sure to give us a review and, leave a comment. Yeah, check us out on Spotify, Apple Casts, wherever podcasts are. You're listening to it right now, so obviously you found us. But yeah, you guys stay salty. Thank you.
Has fear stolen your peace? I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, helping you fight your fears and grow your faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.